You're listening to the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.
He's a former presidential candidate, former Texas congressman, founder of the Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. I'd like to welcome back to the show Dr. Ron Paul. Dr. Paul, good to talk to you again.
Very good, Trevor. Nice to be with you.
Now, Texas, you guys have opened up way before. We're still here on day 448, and Governor Newsom saying even when we're supposed to open on the 15th here, he's going to keep our emergency powers in place.
Well, you know, he should be careful. That could lead to getting a new governor or something like that.
Might lead to a recall or something.
Yeah, that might happen someday. But in the end, you know, I read a couple articles today, as bad as the news generally has been in the last year, there are signs of some of the real strong pessimists saying, you know, there is some good movement out there going in the right direction, more people opening up. But I think that's true, and I'm delighted that that's happening, but I also try to warn people that this isn't over yet. And I think we're winning on the short run. You know, it's so insane on what they're doing, and they're being caught, the opposition's being caught in lies and all these kind of things, and expense and how harmful to kids. All the arguments on our side. But I think that even if they concede, which I think that is what they're doing, because they're, and I do think somebody like Fauci will go eventually because he's so bad, but it also means that they will either get a new virus or they will get a new subject, but they have to keep people scared in order to maintain their power, which is, I think, their ultimate goal.
Yeah, many people out here have that fear that this isn't going to go away. They're not going to give up their control. Well, we have Governor Newsom stating that we're not going to go back to normal. He said that about 8 months ago. When this pandemic is over, we're not going to go back to normal. So I tell everybody, hey, he told us so.
Yeah, that's right.
He did. Well, your son, Senator Rand Paul, going after Fauci in a big way. This lab leak theory, though, is going mainstream. You think it'll go so full mainstream, as you just mentioned, that Fauci might have to go to the unemployment department?
No, he'll go out with a big bonus and a big fanfare. He's been instrumental in the deep state. He's been a real big connection. He always operated under the radar, but I think it's gone to his head now. But no, I think he will have to leave, but I don't imagine he'll leave in what we would consider a disgrace. He's going to leave with a lot of money and a lot of pension fund. But who knows what will happen. It depends on how angry and how many people catch on to what's happening. So I think for you and others, talking about this is very important, because it's amazing how much strength, you know, the opposition has had, you know, throughout the country, begging and pleading for the government to undermine our freedoms. And this has been a worldwide event, and yet the event has been the lockdown and the evil of the lockdown, the attack on liberty. At the same time, the event of the virus has to be seriously considered or, thought through, because there's a lot of false statements made, a lot of fake news about a bit, but fear was their goal. They seem to accomplish it and achieve that a lot more than they deserve and a lot more than we should have allowed them to do.
I tell you, they were good at it. They were really good at instilling that fear. I tell you, if we could take that same kind of skill and turn it positive, this nation could return to glory. Well, as a talk host, I get emails and people tell me, you're not a scientist, you're not a doctor, you're just a Republican talking point person. Hush up. You don't know anything about science. Well, I get second, third, and fourth opinions. You are a doctor. Dr. Ron Paul, talk to those listeners out there and explain how the effect that you saw the lockdown have.
Well, I think it hasn't even been added up yet. But if you want to look for some of the problems that you're talking about, all you have to do is think about the children. You know, it's always about the children, always about the children. And just think of the medical harm and the financial harm they have done to a whole generation. It's very tragic. And the recovery rate is going to be very, very slow. But no, it's been very damaging. The educational system just froze up, and the medical care has been lousy, and I don't think you heard the last of that. This whole thing that they convinced the people that it was so serious that you didn't have to listen to different scientists instead of the Fauci and find out that rushing through vaccines and experimenting, I think this is experimentation, you know, this RNA type of approach and what they're doing. I think the people who are begging and pleading for these shots and pushing their kids to get that shot, I consider it, essentially experimentation, human experimentation, because even the government admits they haven't approved it, And the other disgusting thing about this is a market can handle some of this type of a challenge. Mainly, they should be liable. But what did they do? What was the very first thing they did? The rich pharmaceuticals got protection. They're not liable for it. So they can just spend. The government, the taxpayer pays for the research, the distribution, all of the propaganda, and then they get the vaccines distributed to a large degree. And I was just reading today about, people who are going through the CD, even in the CD records. It's not exactly reassuring of taking this. So I consider the whole issue of the type of vaccine as being very, very bad medicine, and it's been combined with some very, very bad, evil political viewpoints, which probably supersedes, because if you had control of the authoritarians and then you'd force some of these decisions back into the hands of people who are responsible for everything that they do. And one of my thoughts that I've put out on my program all the time is maybe what we ought to consider, since I support it, is, there was a time when the church and state were one and the same, and they finally came up many, many years ago, even though it's not followed precisely, is the separation of church and state. And that's been accepted. Basically, nobody argued, oh, no, we want the church running the state. But I think medicine should be separate from the state. They're probably or some public health efforts that might concede to, but really basically to run the medical care. The first couple of years I was out of medical school, I was in the military, but I would do some moonlighting in emergency room to get further experience and donate some services, and I did it in a Catholic hospital, and I got $3 an hour, and there was no Medicare, no Medicaid. I didn't see people lying around with getting medical care, and then it was in the mid-60s when Medicaid and Medicare came in, and that was the beginning of the end of a good relationship between the doctor and the patient. So I think so much can be handled through a confidence in liberty, and then also in medicine, it would be not to allow the third parties come in, and it started even with the insurance company, and still the insurance company that are the participants in all this managed care. I said back in those days when I started out of medical school, I said, the system essentially charged the least, and there was a lot of charity hospitals, and people weren't left out on the street. Today, everybody gets charged the most because nobody has to look the patient in the eye and say, well, no, get out of here, I want some money. What they do is they have third-party payments. So even when the insurance started and subsidized, and the way that was brought about made medicine much worse. That's why we're facing a crisis today. Then you throw in the factor of inflation, which is raising its ugly head right now, is going to make it so that nobody's going to be able to afford medical care, and printing money to distribute medical care just won't work anymore. And yet, what are they doing here with locking down and pretending this is science? And then they argue, oh, no, you challenge that? You say it's fake science? Okay, you lose your job, you're not even like, and the medical profession locks them down and throws them out of the hospital. It's absolutely insane on what they do and how they destroyed the First Amendment.
The insanity continues. The Ron Paul Institute for Peace and Prosperity. My guest, Dr. Ron Paul. Dr. Paul, if you've had COVID, do you have, in your professional opinion, antibodies for the rest of the time God keeps you on the planet?
Well, really, and if I've just use the knowledge I had when I left medical school. The question wouldn't even be asked. You know, if you have a disease, you're essentially immune. There's probably always exceptions to different things, but this whole idea that there's a big debate going on, and there's reports all the time. I think I read something this morning. There was such and such number of new cases, and they all were vaccinated. You know, and that should wake up some people. And, you know, in a way, in spite of the how powerful the enemy is, a lot of people are waking up and they're joining us in at least asking questions. But, you know, it's easy to get frightened. It's easy to accept the promises of the authoritarians. We're going to take care of you. But it's very difficult and very tedious to get people to reverse their thinking and go to the point where we don't want their services because they're not based on science.
Well, we've seen it all play itself out. And right now, Alameda County, you know, you're saying the truth is rising. People are at least joining us and asking questions. One of our counties here, Alameda County, cut their death rates by 25%. Can you imagine how many thousands, if not tens of thousands of instances around the world where that's the case?
Oh, it has to be, and we eventually will be measured, and somebody will, you know, in the decades to come, probably add it up. But even the preliminary, you know, information now, it's waking up people. So that's the main thing that we have to do, and there are some good ones even from the very beginning. People who knew a lot more about virology than I do, you know, were very much on our side of trying to get to the bottom of this. And even those ones that may be on our side and have a different opinion than CDC, they don't come across as saying, well, we know the absolute truth, da-da-da, and, you know, this sort of thing. It isn't easy because people have been terrorized. So Daniel and I will always qualify, you know, that there are some serious problems out there, but they're not taken care of through the bureaucracy and spending more money and rushing through vaccines. That it's a different issue, but they had it, and I think this is going to fade because what they said, that if you don't go with us, that means you don't care about the kids. You want them all to get sick and die. And I think most people now, you see the gatherings of parents, especially mothers, getting to going to some of these meetings and things, and they're knowledgeable now, so they're getting some good information somewhere. So as bad as the internet is, there's still a source of information there that we have to use when we can.
Did you by chance hear the Arab Christian mom in New York State go off for about 12 minutes on that school board?
Oh, boy, yeah.
I was going to go get snippets to play on the show, but I couldn't stop. I played the whole thing. I said, this is what parents need to hear.
And you can tell people who were, say, in the middle and just happened to come across this, the first thing that would strike them, that struck you and me, was she's authentic. She's not making this up. And she's talking not only from the side of science, but from her heart as well. And it wasn't propaganda. When the bureaucrat talks, I think most people realize that they're not telling us the truth. One time after a debate, somebody came up and they were praising me for standing up for the Constitution and all the things, and I was pleased with their positive attitude. And I said, yeah, but so-and-so said the same thing, and he was in the debate. I said, why aren't you talking to him? He says, well, we didn't believe him. So I think in politics they can say the same thing, but I think people are a lot smarter than most of us realize, that they can sort this all out. It just takes a long time, and propaganda is powerful, and people go along and are too careless with it. But when it gets bad, people begin to wake up, but it's a lot slower than when they're put to sleep with some government-directed drug, and that's where this propaganda is like a drug.
You know, I still see it. I see individuals outside by themselves with a face mask on. Now that we're hitting summer and high temperatures, I can't blame them because of the air quality, but we've been seeing it for the last year, the propaganda. Well, Dr. Ron Paul, thank you so much. And tell everybody out here with the Institute for Peace and Prosperity how they can hear your shows.
Very good. Our show is alive and well, and our numbers were growing very significantly until we became suspect that we don't get the circulation that other videos get on YouTube, or the way I used to be able to get it. But we're there, and I hope we can keep doing it and have another option. We have to. It's RonPaulLibertyReport.com, and we live stream at 11 a.m. Central Time.
11 a.m. Central. Dr. Ron Paul, God bless you, sir. Keep fighting the good fight from the good state of Texas. Thank you, sir.
Okay, Trevor. Nice to talk to you.
This is the Trevor Carey Show on the Valley's Power Talk.